Good morning. Before we do anything else, what I'd like for us to do is pray. I really appreciate that last song and the reminder of it. So if you would join me, we'll pray together. God, this idea, we hear the name Emmanuel a lot, especially during the holidays. But the fact that you are with us, and that's what it means, is it is something that we struggle to keep in mind. We can talk about you, we can bring you up in conversations or songs, but to really think of you being present with us right now, if we were to grasp that, it would change everything. Some of us are extremely anxious over these next few weeks. Some are watching today online, have been traveling, and they're deeply concerned about all kind of things, whether it's family relationships or a job, whether they have it when they get back, or how they're going to pay for what they're doing. I mean, there's anxiety all around us, and that's just here. In the world, there's so many people that are struggling and fearful. There are those that are wielding power to intimidate and to frighten and to steal. There are those that have power that some are using it wisely and some are using it just for their own means. We're surrounded by a world that seems out of control. And we need to remember that you are still here. That you're good, that you're able to provide everything we need. Whether it's what we want or not, you will give us what we need. So today in our worship, help us to remember that. Help us to have you clear in our focus. And when we look at our problems, that we would allow them to be less in focus and you more. Help us to hear what you say. Help us to grab hold of your promises as we grab hold of you. And may we be changed by renewing our minds today. We ask for your help and we're ready to receive. In Christ's name, amen. Real quick, a shameless plug for Mission Muffins. I don't know if they have any more of these, but these cream cheese filled ones, if they have any of those, grab them real quick. I think you could actually double the price in the parking lot and sell them for people that didn't get them, but they are so good. Everything I've had that they have, even their coffee, they get it from a roaster locally. And everything they have is good, but it's also a really, really good cause. So go by and say hi and buy some for your friends. One other thing I want to mention, too, is this week something happened that the first time it happened, it was a bit irritating. This time it's maddening. Apparently someone has sent out emails in my name asking for help. It doesn't come from my email address, so I didn't send it, but when it happened before, they were just, you get an email from me saying I could use some gift cards that I can use as gift for others, and I'll pay you back one day. And it's coming. I think one of them came from Nigeria, one came from somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm not going to ask any of y'all for gift cards. I wouldn't mind having one of those bow-wrapped cars in the driveway for Christmas. Now, that's pretty cool, but this is just what happens, and I wasn't hacked or anything. Someone just made up an address but used my name. So if you got that, please discard it. We're doing this series called Still, and the idea of it is that God is still who he always has been. He still loves us, he still pursues us, he still cares. And even in a world that is seemingly chaotic and out of control, he is still right here with us. And by the way, my name's Rusty. I'm pastor here at New Hope. And whether you're on campus or online or later in the week, we have a lot of people traveling on demand. Glad we can be together. I love Christmas. I get, for whatever reason, I just become like a little kid. And that's in spite of the barrage of marketing that comes. I mean, it's all over the place. And and that's okay. I get it. I don't have to get mad about it. I can just ignore a lot of it. But one thing that's happened over the last few years is how creative people have gotten into personal marketing for what they want for Christmas. Let me see if this, Bill, can we pull this picture up? This little girl here, Amy was, she was profiled in Wall Street Journal. She came up with a way she wanted to lobby her family. And so she spent 10 hours developing a PowerPoint presentation with all kind of pictures, links. And then she streamed it over the family's TV so they could all see her Christmas list. Extremely creative. And some of you have already had that happen to you. Some of you are thinking, I can do that now. This is a great idea. All of us have wants and desires. There are things, and at Christmas time, a lot of times we get things we don't really want. We wish someone had asked us, but we've got it anyway. Now we're giving it to someone else this year. But we all have wants and desires. There's nothing wrong with it. That's just the way we're built. The problem comes when we try to fulfill our wants and desires, when we're not able to actually filter out which ones are healthy, which ones are good, and then how we go about accomplishing it. And sometimes our wants and desires can be in line, and how we go about dealing with them are way out of line. Sometimes what we want is way out of line, and then whatever we do is going to get us or others in trouble. And we're constantly, and this is normal, we're trying to look for ways to make life work. And so we're always looking for answers. All of us are doing this regularly, whether we are overtly doing it or whether we're really thinking about it. And we're looking for answers. How can I make life work? How can I make it better? How can I be happy? How can I be fulfilled? How can I be respected? All this kind of stuff. And the problem is not all the answers we land on are equally valuable or true. We may land on them, and it may seem in the moment, this is wonderful. And then maybe later on we'll find out, oh, so this is what I got. We need help because while human nature is to want things and have desires and all this kind of stuff, we've got a problem, and that's every one of us. The Bible is very clear about this, that all of us are created in God's image, and there's a beauty and a dignity that goes along with that, but there's also this other part of us where we're bent and we're broken. And no matter how much we want to not be that way, we still are. And so if we're not careful, we buy into this thing, well, I have a lot of dignity, therefore whatever I want is right, and then we can get in all kind of trouble because our bentness gets us out of shape. I worked a construction job years ago. I was planning a trip. I took a year off of college. I was going to go spend some time in Switzerland and a Christian community I wanted to be a part of, and so I had to save up a lot of money. So I got this construction job. I was working in Richmond for Reynolds Metals. And the company I worked for was one of the things we were doing. We were building an addition to a warehouse. It's about a half-acre addition we're building to this warehouse. And the first thing you do is you have to lay out your foundation. You have to put in steel and pour concrete. And we did. Our supervisor seemed very competent. He wore one of the white hats, so that immediately indicates he knows what he's doing. Apparently, getting that hat didn't mean that he really knew what he was doing. We spent a lot of time. We tied all the rebar and steel. We poured the concrete. It came out looking really good. And then we came back to work, and there were two jackhammers there. What had happened is our boss It really should be maybe termed better active violence, because there are people that have wielded knives and other things besides guns. But nevertheless, it happens frequently. We hear about it all the time. And one of the questions is, why? What causes people to do it? And his research, with all that he's looked at, he said there are two things that come up consistently with this. There are people that want revenge, and they want fame. And they're willing to do this because it seems like that's going to work. And a lot of them end up finding others that kind of think that way, that kind of feed this thinking. And this is part of our human... And I don't think anyone in here has done active shooting. But we're all trying to find some way. Some of us, our whole bent is, how can I get revenge? Or how can I become famous? How can I be valuable? How am I going to live my life so people will like me and appreciate me and all this? And we may pick different ways, and please do, but not all these ways are healthy too. They're ways that can lead us astray if we're not careful. So what I want to do today is look at this idea of what happens when we get what we want. What did we really get? There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death, it says in Proverbs. Just because something feels right, even if it's supported by others, even if you can find a group that says, way to go, you need to pursue this, it doesn't mean it's right or good. We are all free to make choices. We are not free of the consequences of those choices, which is why we need to be careful. Some answers seem really good for a while, but ultimately it's only what is true that's going to last. That's why it's critically important to search out truth and be relentless when you do it. And don't just go for things that feel good or just that confirm your suspicion. Be honest and open. Don't just latch onto a group that supports you. Right now we have access. I think you could come up with any idea you want and you could find on the internet someone that would agree with you. And that doesn't mean that it's good. It just means someone else is thinking the same way you are. This is something that's kind of new in the modern age, but it's dangerous too because it can lead to this kind of confirmation bias that can get us in all kind of trouble. I think it's also important to have real relationships. That's another story for another time. But it's easy to find people online that seem to be experts. It's different when you're with real people and you can confirm by their character and by other things whether they actually know what they're talking about or not. We live in a world system that throws out all kind of ideas and it changes regularly. The problem is it's not rooted in what God would say is fundamental truth. It's rooted in all different kinds of so-called truths. 1 John says, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. I can find all kind of support for anything I want, but again, it doesn't mean it's right, doesn't mean it's good, and the fact that it's going to change over time just means it is. It's always a moving target. I need to find, and our lives are too important to have a foundation on something that's seriously questionable or is constantly shifting. We need to find values and beliefs that lead into our behaviors and all that are substantive, something we can count on. You can be genuine and sincere, but be completely wrong. There were some people a few years ago that were drinking pomegranate juice because it was going to cure all cancers, including prostate cancer. I doubt if your doctor has ever prescribed for you pomegranate juice. It's healthy. It may have antioxidants and all this kind of stuff, but that doesn't mean that it's going to heal all your cancers. There are people that have stayed away from therapies that have been proven to work because someone said pomegranate juice is the way to go. Maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But so far the evidence indicates maybe you need to try something else. And even if you find something that seems to work, listen to this. It says, and what do you benefit, Jesus said, if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? What if you find something that seems to work, but it's still off base? For a while, it may feel good, and it may seem really good, but ultimately, ultimately it's going to lead you somewhere that you don't want to be. I'm going to tell you stories of three people today. Two of them I know, have known very well, and one I've just recently learned about and have studied. And I hope they'll illustrate. There are some values in it all that are brought up in these stories, but I want you to listen to the stories. I want you to hear, what is it the person wanted? What did they find that seemed to help them get what they wanted? And what was missing? And it's easier to listen to someone else's story than to think of our own. So I'm hoping you'll listen. And the particulars may be, you may have all kind of designs on the particulars, but I want you to think, I wonder what I've done like that. I wonder how I'm living right now. Is there something I'm pursuing that maybe the way I'm going about it is really not good or healthy or right? The first one, I've changed the names for the first two. The third one, I'm going to use her name because she's published it. First one, I'm going to call him Johnny. Anyone that met him as an adult, all they would have seen is someone that was outgoing and successful, happy, confident, one of those all-together people. You know what those people are. They're a little irritating because they just got it. They're the ones that show up in the commercials and do this. They have kind of the furrowed brow, the pride of life brow, and they're not even trying to. It's just their natural facial expression. Everything they do seems to be great. They smell good. They look good. Their complexion's perfect. They never sweat. They're irritating as they can be. But anyway, that's the way Johnny came across. He just seemed like the guy. You know, all men wanted to be like him and all women wanted to be with him. I mean, that's the way he came across. Had a solid family. High achiever in school, all the way into grad school. Everything he did, he seemed to flourish in it. And I mean, he had developed a real affinity for finances, math, investments, business, markets, and he had become extremely wealthy and helped a lot of other people become wealthy too. It was like mid-30s and he had everything. And then he disappeared. And if you had invested your money with him, you'd kind of like to know where he is. He was gone. Now, none of the money was missing, just him. And for a few weeks, no one knew where he was. It became very serious. The place he worked, they were really, really concerned about him. They were concerned for him, but also concerned because he controlled a whole lot of assets for the company. And then after a few weeks, he was discovered. He was in the Caribbean on one of his yachts. They caught him and said, "What?" He wasn't arrested or anything. He said, "What happened?" He goes, "I just needed to get away. I couldn't take it anymore." Didn't fit the picture that everyone had of him. Johnny seemed to be this Mr. Together, but something serious had happened. And what had happened is since he was a little kid, he'd been carrying this belief that he was less than everybody else. That he didn't measure up. If people really knew who he was, they would have nothing to do with him because everyone was better than him. See, he was adopted, adopted by a really good family, but nevertheless, when he found out who his parents were, it put him in the tailspin. His parents were both drug addicts in San Francisco. His mom lost custody of him. Courts made sure they had nothing to do with him, and then he got adopted. In his mind, he was a reject. He was a reject from broken people, which meant he was doubly, doubly damaged. The family that adopted him loved him and cared about him. They never shamed him. They gave him all these opportunities. But he just kept this idea in his mind that I'm not worth it. And so what spurred him on to be so good in school and sports and in his work was that he felt like, I've got to prove that I'm somebody. I've got to come to the, if I do this, or if I do this, if I achieve this, and somehow that's going to do it, I'm going to finally have arrived. I'll know I'm somebody. It didn't work. He tried to find answers in all kinds of places, and he said at one point he went to the church that he had gone to as a kid. Growing up, pastor was still there. He went in and had an appointment with the pastor. He just wanted to find out, I want an answer. What do I do? How do I come to this? Am I going to be locked into this? I'm worthless the rest of my life. And when he met with the pastor, had some serious questions. But the pastor, as soon as he found out who Johnny was, spent the whole time together pumping him for financial advice, because he knew this guy was a genius. And he left just as discouraged as he was before. When I met him, it was because a mutual friend that really cared about him and was concerned about him introduced. This was after he had disappeared and come back, and a lot of this had come out. And he was leery of me at first because, I'm a pastor, so I'm kind of damaged goods. But as time went on, we built a friendship, and plus I didn't have any money, so I didn't ask him how to invest it, which that was good. And after a while, as we built our friendship, he was willing to listen to this idea of what God offers, still thinking that I'm this super damaged person, there's nothing. But then I told him, I said, here's the truth, all of us are. Every one of us are damaged beyond repair. And that's why Jesus came. And every one of us have been offered something that only God could give us, and that is to adopt us, broken people, into his family. You've seen an image of that by your parents, your adoptive parents, rescuing you. That's what God came to do for every one of us. And it was like something clicked for him. It's not that he never struggled again, but he did make a commitment to follow Jesus, because it finally, something started making sense to him. He realized I'm not the worst person. I'm just one of the people that have had some rough things happen. And he understood, my motives for doing all the stuff I've done, people give me credit. I'm just doing it to try to be liked, to try to have value. There are people, our churches are full of people that serve. There are a number of them that serve because they want to be appreciated and they want to be liked, they want to be valued. And one of the ways you can tell if that's your motive is, do you get mad when you don't get credit for what you've done? So Johnny was learning some things. And it was an eye-opener for him. Next person, I'm going to call him Billy. Billy was super smart. At an early age, had become a follower of Christ. And as time went on, he had, he was one of these just, I don't know if he was a member of Mensa, but he probably could have been. He devoted his career. He became an attorney, and he devoted his career not to make money, but to help others. And he did a lot, especially people that needed an advocate that couldn't afford it. He would come along, and he worked for a firm that allowed that. And if you were looking up for someone saying, who is someone extremely wise, who's someone that serves, who's someone that really cares, his picture would show up. Great family. They seemed really, really close. There was just a lot of good going on in Billy's life. And then one day he just lost it. He got angry, stormed out of a room of in his church, and wouldn't talk about it. He don't have anything to. I'm going to deal with it. It was so out of character the way he handled it. It wasn't like any way we'd ever seen him before. And several weeks later, we found out why. A reporter had discovered that Billy, while in his day life was doing phenomenal things, in his nightlife he was an entirely different person. He'd been living a double life. At night he was roaming the streets looking for hookups with other guys. Younger men, he would get them alcohol, weed, whatever he could, and this was just he did this for a couple of years. It was discovered, and when it came to light, it was a huge scandal that cost him his job, his reputation. Because he and I had been friends, as soon as I heard about it, I went to his house and we sat outside and we talked about it for quite a while. And I said, first of all, is it true? And he said, yeah. every bit of it. And then the next question, which is, you know, why? What was going on? And he said, I'm not exactly sure. He said, I know there's some things that fed into it. It had been brewing for quite a while. See, he'd been carrying a weight in his life too. When he was younger, he had been abused by a priest and was told to keep it secret. There was shame and all this kind of stuff, so it was never made public. He never told anyone. He just lived with it. The problem with secrets, though, is they end up eating us up inside. And finally, he just seemed like he couldn't handle it anymore. And so he started doing something that was forbidden, something that was out there, something that was extremely risky. It seemed thrilling. It seemed dangerous. It seemed to add something to his life that all the good things he was doing weren't satisfying. And instead of having dealt with this abuse that had happened, he was trying to figure out a way to numb himself from it. Doesn't justify what he did, and he knew that. But it did explain a lot. Once the secret was out and all the dust cleared, he began dealing with it. And he finally found some freedom. It took a lot of humility. But it was as if it was a relief getting caught, because he'd been living this secret life trying to find something that he wanted that he didn't seem to find anywhere else. Broken and ashamed, but what had been hidden was now in the light and was being addressed well. This last one I just learned about recently in an article in the Washington Post. I'm going to read from that article. The name of this girl is Prisha Mosley. Some of you may have heard of her before, I don't know. 25, she's a college student. She's not someone that ever sought the spotlight, but has been getting it, especially in regions where there's a real push to allow young children to go through the process of transitioning from either male to female or female to male. She is not a Christian. She's not a conservative. In fact, in the article, she would said, you know, she goes, I'm really liberal about a whole lot of things. I support all kind of things. He said, but this gender stuff that's going on, I'm concerned about it. And she has reason for it. When she was a teenager, she transitioned from female to male. And then last year, 2022, she detransitioned. And she's joined forces with some groups that are trying to limit treatment for young children that are trying to transition because they believe they're in the wrong gender. She's become estranged from who are former friends, the LGBTQ+ group. She's seen as a traitor to them. Even though she doesn't bash any of them, she just says, I disagree on this trans part. And she said, it's strange I'm being treated compassionately by the conservatives, which I've never really agreed on much until this. But they're treating me well, and I'm really kind of stuck. She goes, at this point in my life, I am politically homeless. I don't know where I am. I just know some things that I believe now. I'm going to tell you a bit of her story. Because I think it is powerful, and she has a voice that others are listening to. Again, does that make her right? Not necessarily. People can have all kind of opinions. She's got, there are like 50,000 people that have got onto sites that she has that are in talking all about this detransitioning. But Prisha, as a teen, began to suffer from anorexia. She was around 14 at the time, 13 or 14. She had anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. And then at 14, she was sexually assaulted and became pregnant and suffered a miscarriage. Somehow in her mind, she believed this. She goes, I believed it was a woman's place to be sexually harmed by men. It's just natural. This is what happens. She was online, she heard a lot of stories, and it became, this must be what always happens. So when she was 15, after all this had happened, she started role-playing online as a guy. Didn't tell her parents or anyone about that. She was just doing it, and it started to feel kind of freeing. The idea of physically transitioning came from online friends. Listen to this. Came from online friends who told her that her anorexia, and these are online friends were not doctors. These are online friends that care deeply about her. But listen to what they said. They told her anorexia was caused by, quote, being born in the wrong body, and that she was really a boy. People that cared about her. She had had a community of people that understood. And again, we get that. But they were not experts. But they gave her some advice that seemed right, and why would I disagree with them? And so she began to see doctors and therapists, and she was diagnosed with gender dysphoria. Her mom and dad initially were very opposed to all this, but because they love her, eventually they came, and this is what she said, they came alongside to support me. She said, it was clear to me and my family something was wrong with me, and I needed help. And then she says this, she goes, in hindsight, she believes her parents were misled by doctors and therapists as well as her. I'm telling you her opinion. When she was 16, doctors began prescribing injections for her to change her hormone balance. Later on, she had surgery. And then she began to identify as Charlie, as a guy. Changed her driver's license, all official documents. She moved to Florida, lived with a bunch of like-minded people that believed the same way she did. And then she says this, she goes, but the relief proved to be temporary. She said, I had some therapy before transitioning, but it was only in post-transition sessions that I realized that all the magic that was supposed to happen when I transitioned, the healing and euphoria and all that, what really came out is my healing came from when I dealt with a sexual assault and other childhood issues. And I told you my friend that had been assaulted when he was a kid. Never really addressed that because he kept it secret, but then he found ways to try to deal with it, which were not very good ways. In her case, what she realized is I had this trauma that, you know, the rape and all this kind of stuff, and I had other things going on, but instead of dealing with that, I was given another kind of fix. And then she decided to detransition, and the statement she made here was this. I decided I didn't want to be a woman before I had even experienced being a woman. I am concerned, deeply concerned, about what goes on in our culture as answers, where we're experimenting on real people. And I think Prisha has been honest and open and very courageous in this. God has gone to great expense to show us what is true. And the Bible tells us what is true. The Bible is clear. It doesn't give us every detail, but it does say things like, you know, God created male and female in his image. There's something about that that is important, and it comes down to the core of who we are. And we need to understand that before we start coming up with solutions that could lead us in an entirely different direction. And because he wanted us to have the truth, and not just a cache of truth, the true documents. He wanted us to have the truth. He sent the answer for us. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. He's not a way, not one way. He is the way. And at great expense, God sent him for us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. A couple of closing thoughts on this. One thing is pursuing what God says is true is not always popular. You can look like a dinosaur, or you'll have people throw the word phobe on you if you disagree with where they are. We've lost the ability to have disagreements and be agreeable in the process. Prisha is not a follower of Jesus, but she's latched onto something that I believe is really true. And I am hopeful and I'm praying that she will find him along the way. But in the process, she's She's got some people coming after her because she's seen as a traitor. So how do you handle it when people don't agree with you, or they call you things because you're going a different direction? You've latched onto something you believe is true that doesn't go along culturally. Matthew 15, Jesus said, he goes, so ignore them. They are blinded. They're blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they'll both fall into a ditch. Don't hate them. Don't get mad. Don't get revenge. But just recognize that people may disagree. But the one that we latch onto, the one that we follow, the one that has given us insight and help so we can live good, full lives, he will not mislead us. And in fact, when we were at our worst, he continued to pursue us. God still loves and pursues us, even when we are diametrically opposed to what he says. Listen to this in Colossians 1. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. God didn't give up on us when we were going in an entirely different direction. He came and pursued us to rescue us. Not force it on us, but to offer it to us. This is something we get to do. This is something we're called to do. There are a lot of different ways to try to find answers in life. There is one place to go where you really find them. I'm going to go back. Bill, do we have that last slide? I started off and I showed you this, the girl, Amy Finstrom, who had come up with her 10-hour PowerPoint presentation that she streamed to her family. This last slide, I think, is very cool because I don't want to put her in a bad light. She goes, I just want to say, I don't need anything on this list. I'm grateful for all the privileges and things you've given me. These are just a few ideas if you want to. The main thing for me is spending time with my family this Christmas. Pretty cool. It's okay to want and desire. To demand is something else. And to go a different way than God has given us is going to lead us into trouble. Let's pray. God, it's easy to look at other people's lives and critique them. And while that can be a little bit helpful, what's more helpful is to look in the mirror and to allow you to critique us. All of us have things that we want and desire, and we go all kind of routes to get them fulfilled. But it's only when we stop and look at you and ask you for help and listen to you that we're really going to find what fits our lives and what works. You are our Creator. You're our Savior. You know us completely, and you would never do anything to harm us. Help us to listen for you, to pursue you, to be able to be willing to critique our big ideas. And whenever we find that there's a disagreement between what we think and what you think, help us to quickly tap out and allow you to have your way. This Christmas, remind us that no one has loved us better than you. In Christ's name, amen.